Father, we truly do thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you, Father, that you are an awesome God and you're always for us and not against us. We thank you, God, that you are finishing the work that you started in each and every one of us. Tonight, open up the spiritual ears so they can hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, let them open up their spiritual eyes so they can see what you see and not what the world is trying to show us. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I really want to thank everybody for the presentation this morning. It took me totally and completely by surprise. And I just didn't know what to say. But I thank each and every one of you who worked on that, because that took a lot of work. I thought it was just awesome. I sat at home and looked at it again. And I just really want to say that I appreciate each one of you, too. You know, it works both ways. You have to put up with me, and I have to put up with you, right? Some days it's good, and some days it's bad. But I really thank you. You show your love to me in so many ways all year long, and I thank you for it. I really do. And I know that God sees and knows all, and I know that one day somebody's going to give you the same honor when you're out there serving God and bringing souls into the kingdom. Amen. I was going to use a scripture tonight where Jesus talks about, he's talking to the Father and tells the Father about, you know, the people that God gave to him, he kept. But I thought, no, I mean, it really does relate to what's going on. But I said, no, I don't want to do that. Somebody might think that I'm trying to take Jesus' spot or trying to twist the gospel. But anyhow, I just want to thank you for all that you do. And I know one day you're going to stand before the Father, and I'm going to be back there just saying, come on in. Amen. I'm just going to be so happy that you're up there in heavenly places with us. You see, I plan on going. But I have to work this out each and every day, right? Now, I think it was Wednesday night when you were laying on the floor. God told me to have Christopher take the water and anoint you with hyssop. I had asked Chris what hyssop was, and he said, well, and then he quoted a scripture that David gave, and that still didn't tell me anything. So I looked it up, and let's look at it. Do you have that one, Nancy? So it's 1 Kings 4:33 says, you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of this house until morning. That was the first Passover. Then in Psalm 51:7, so here the blood was keeping them safe. The hyssop was keeping them safe, all right? In Psalm 51:7, David is expressing his confidence in God's power to restore him. So God could have been restoring you the other night. One definition of the word purge is to rid someone of an unwanted feeling, memory, or condition, typically giving a sense of a physical, what I want to do first, I'm sorry. Let's go down and read Psalm 51:7 first, Nancy. The NIV translates Psalm 51:7 as, this is David speaking to God, cleanse me with the hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. So you see, David knew that God could cleanse and make him white. Now let's go back up here. It verses in Psalm 51:7. David is expressing his confidence in God's power to restore him. And I believe that's what God's been doing, is restoring us. One definition of the word purge is to rid someone of an unwanted feeling, memory, or condition, typically giving a sense of a physiological and emotional release. And purge is a verb, meaning it is an action that David is requesting God to actually do to him. And then in Leviticus 14:4 through 7, the hyssop and the blood are used in the ceremonial cleansing of the leper, when you read that. So even though we didn't understand what God was doing that night, I hope you understand today what God was doing, which was the deep works. See, I just hear God tell me to do something, and I just do it, you know. And when I just obey and God, and we do it, then God does what He wants to do. We usually never understand what's going on at the moment, but there's always a purpose for everything that God does. All right, then. when I was sitting in church just the other night, God said, I want you to make up a sign that says you're entering into the portals of heaven and to place it over the doors as you come into the doors of the church. Okay? So because God told, and Brother Allen's is working on that, and you will see that sign up there shortly, tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. That's not true. We just finalized what we're going to do this evening. That means you work all night, Brother Allen, okay? So it's going to say you're entering into the portals of heaven. Now, because God said that, you know, I was thinking about the portals, and I ran across an article. It just popped up in my email yesterday. It was today, Sunday, Friday. And it was by John Paul Jackson, and this is what he says about heavenly portals. God delights in revealing himself to those who love his appearing and to those who watch for his coming. One of the marvelous mysteries of God is the existence of portals, doors, and passageways leading to and from the heavenly realms. When you are standing in a portal, it feels like an open heaven. Now, didn't God tell us that we were the heavens were open over us? He told us that. Not even a year ago, maybe less than a year ago, right? So I said one of the marvelous mysteries of God is the existence of portals, doors, and passageways leading to and from the heavenly realms. When you are standing in a portal, it feels like an open heaven. I didn't say this, John Paul Jackson did, all right? A heavenly portal is a spherical opening of light that offers divine protection by which angels and heavenly beings can come and go without demonic interference. So a heavenly portal is an orb opening of light that offers divine protection by which angels and heavenly beings can come and go without demonic interference. God told me to put it over the door out there, so that means the angels can come and go as they please, and the demonic cannot stop them in any way, shape, or form. I want you to understand the importance of what God is doing to the church. You know, I love the Father with all my heart, and just like I was telling him tonight, I'm so imperfect, but he still does so many wonderful things for me, you know, for this church, the Lighthouse, and there's no way that anybody could ever turn me away from my Father. He's such a perfect God and such a loving, kind God. All right, God has designed portals to begin in the third heaven, travel through the second heaven and upon earth. So what has God been telling us? Come up into the third heaven and you just be walking back and forth from the third heaven to earth. Isn't that what he's been telling us? So God has designed portals to begin in the third. They have to begin up there in the third heaven, travel through the second heaven and open upon earth. Throughout scripture, we see the existence of doorways or portals. In Psalm 24:7 says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. In Psalm 78:23, he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. There's a whole lot of scriptures that pertain to this, just not the ones we're going to read. In Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. John 1:51, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We know, because I've told the story many times, that we actually saw the heavens open and we saw the angels ascending and descending into the Lighthouse Church. This one here is talking about coming upon Jesus, but we actually saw that in the church. And in Revelation 4:1-2, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit. So where was John? He had to be here on earth, right? Because the voice said what? Come up here. And I'm just wondering how many times God has said, you come up here and you're so busy with listening to your Christian music or you're doing whatever you're doing and you don't hear that voice is saying, come up here, and you miss the invitation of the Father to come up into the heavenly places. And I'm not saying don't quit listening to your music, but what I'm saying, listen to music, Christian music, can sometimes be a distraction also. And this is why I say this, because two times last week, you know, I was listening to music, and all of a sudden I had a really bad taste for it. I could not listen to it. And so I shut it off, and God said, I want to speak to you. And I couldn't speak to you because you were concentrating on what you were listening to. See, but God made me feel like, you know, I didn't know it was God. I just said, what's wrong with me that I don't even want to listen to this music? But it was God, and he had to speak to me about something. So you see what I'm saying? All right, the door in Revelation suggests God's invitation for us to have access to his heavenly realm. As his friends, the Lord wants to open the portals of heaven and release an unparalleled visitation of heavenly hosts. The door in Revelation suggests God's invitation for us to have access to his heavenly realm. As his friends, the Lord wants to open the portals of heaven and release an unparalleled visitation of heavenly hosts. Now, I want to stop there. God told me one day last week, and that he said, daughter, you are going to, in an instant, start walking in the miracle realm with me. And he says, once you start, then the church is going to follow. Within 30 days, they're going to be totally and completely surrendered to me, and they will be doing all the works that I've called them forth to do. Now, when God told me that, I mean, the Spirit was all over me, and all I could do was sit and cry. And he told me other things, too, but I don't remember what it was. But it was all about there was going to be a suddenly in my life that's going to totally and completely change me. And then when it totally and completely changed me, you all were going to see what's going on, and then you were going to be hungry for what God was doing. And then 2 days later, when I was sitting there, this is when God told me to put this out on top of that door. If you don't think I'm not one excited little lamb, you're mistaken. I can't hardly stand it, waiting to see what God is getting ready to do here in the Lighthouse Church. Jacob discovered a heavenly portal. Jacob spent the night in a place where his forefather Abraham had called upon the name of the Lord, and that's in Genesis 12:8. And as he rested his head upon a covenant stone, a portal opened. Jacob saw a vision of a ladder with angels ascending and descending on it. When he awoke from sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is a gate of heaven. That scripture right there tells me, when I read it, that surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And how awesome is this place? Are you listening? Everyone that's been coming to this church and been raised up under this anointing, you should have the same type of church. You should have the same type of ministry. And the portals of heaven should be open over you, and you should see the angels ascending and descending. Eager to mark the specific location where he had encountered the stairway to heaven, Jacob erected a monument and named the place Bethel, or dwelling place of God. Excuse me. Several times after this, the Lord told Jacob to return to Bethel, where he would speak to him. You know, and I am not tooting my own horn, because I give God the glory for everything he does, because believe me, I can do absolutely nothing. But so many people who come through these doors, you know, from different areas, different states or anything, say there's just something so special about that church. We never feel it any other place we've ever... Now, there is other places, I'm quite sure, but they've never felt any place that they have been. And they said, when we leave there, it lingers with us. So that's telling me that we don't understand the fullness of what God really does here in this church. We don't understand that he is here, and he is doing a great deep works within us that we'll be able to carry to the nations. Excuse me. Where am I at here? All right, eager to mark the specific location, I'll start there, where he had encountered the stairway to heaven, Jacob erected a monument named the place Bethel, or dwelling place of God. excuse me. Several times after this, the Lord told Jacob to return to Bethel where he would speak to him. I must have swallowed a gnat. And that when we preached the other night. Because there's something in my throat. Now, several times after this, the Lord told Jacob to return to Bethel where he would speak to him. He was right there where he could speak to him right there, wasn't he? Have you ever wondered why the Lord, who could speak to you anywhere, would instruct you to go somewhere else so that he could talk with you? Think about that. You could be sitting in church and God could say, I want you to get up and go out and sit in your car and he'd talk to you. And you sit there saying, get behind me, devil. Right? While God was talking to Elijah, he instructed the prophet to go to Mount Orb, also known as Mount Sinai, where the Lord would talk to him further. And that's in 1 Kings 19, 11 through 18. And he said, go out. And God said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broken pieces of rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire the sounds of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. In your place. Now, I know for a fact there's some of you sitting in here, if God would tell you to go anoint somebody else to take your place, you'd say, you want me to do what? You'd be very upset over that. And then God went on to say, and the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. See, Elijah thought he was the only one, but God said, there's 7,000 out there that are still bowing their knees to me. Divine portals into the heavenly realm exist around the earth today. The city of Jerusalem is a portal. In fact, it is a major portal on the face of the earth. That's why both David and Isaiah said that Jerusalem is the center of the earth. Why do you suppose the enemy is trying to capture Jerusalem? He is trying to block or close off this portal. In Moravian Falls, North Carolina, Rick Joyner has shared that he and his staff have had numerous angelic visitations on their property that was once owned by Count von Zindorf in the Moravian community of faith. Several portals exist on this land which had been prayed over by the Moravian Brethren for over 100 years. Now, I've heard stories about pastors going there and they've seen the angels out there playing ball, and the angels actually play ball with them. And there really is a portal that's open there, and a lot of people go there for a vacation just so they can be in that open portal. And I haven't heard one yet that hasn't seen angelic activity there. I forgot one pastor, I don't know who it was. He said he went there and he went and walked outside and they said, come on, we're waiting on you. We need another hand to play ball with us. And they all started playing ball. But he said the angels were everywhere on that mountain. Now, in Sutton, New Hampshire, a portal exists on the 90 acres that were given to Streams Ministries. Obviously, the enemy knows this because he has been blocking the use of this portal and providing access only to the second heaven. Every time I climb to the top of the land, I have torn down demonic altars, erected by witches who trespass on the property and defile places where God had once revealed himself. Now, let's read that again, because this applies to us. In Sutton, New Hampshire, a portal exists on the 90 acres that were given to Streams Ministries. Obviously, the enemy knows this because he has been blocking the use of this portal and providing access only to the second heaven. Do you think that's why we can't get past the second heaven and go up into the third heaven? You know, that we had somebody here one time, and they cursed the church because I wouldn't let them hand out envelopes for my people to send them money. And so she stood right here and cursed the church. So, I mean, right behind this pulpit. So do you think that, and I know that she's not the only one, because God has told me the witches and warlocks in this area pray against this church constantly. So I just want you to think about this. So do you think that's why we're having trouble going to the third heaven? That they've blocked us from going there. Every time I, he goes on to say, every time I climb to the top of the land, which the locals refer to as the pinnacle, I have torn down demonic altars erected by witches who trespass on the property and defile places where God once revealed himself. God once revealed himself here in powerful ways. Now, has something been blocking this portal all this time? And this is why we can't give any leeway. I don't know. I haven't gotten the answer yet. But we need to be seeking God's face and find out what is really going on. But God is calling us to take back these high places so that his angels can come and go without hindrance. So see, John Paul Jack said, God is calling us to take back these high places so that his angels can come and go without hindrance. Sadly, while many in the New Age movement recognize the existence of portals, the portals they recognize are those of the second heaven, and many erroneously think they are hearing from God when actually they are being deceived by the counterfeit. We'll read that statement again because it's a true statement. Sadly, while many in the New Age movement recognize the existence of portals, the portals they recognize are those of the second heaven. Many erroneously think they are hearing from God when actually they are being deceived by the counterfeit. I often wonder why, if your life is not right, why are you hearing words from everybody else, but your life is still messed up? And they're usually good words, you know, edifying you and lifting you up. Is this the second heaven speaking to you? You need to think about this. While living in Babylon, the prophet Daniel encountered angels who had battled with principalities. However, since the prince of Persia ruled the nation, the portal to the third heaven was stopped up. If you read that story, you'll find that out. Much like a kitchen sink that is clogged with debris, so that nothing can flow from the source. But the Lord is calling us to take back these places full of divine destiny so that his angels can come and go unencumbered in our midst. Our job is to take back our portals. Our job is to get rid of the garbage that's blocking the portals that once were here. Now, God wouldn't have me put a sign out there like that if it wasn't the truth. And so I know he placed this in my email box so that I could see this and understand what's going on here in the church, because I've been crying out about it. All right? It could be going on in your own home. It could be a portal there that the enemy, it could be an enemy's portal, or has been a portal of God there and it's blocked up. I'm hearing God say, so I'm just going to say it. A lot of you in your homes, you have an enemy portal that somebody else has opened and you need to close it. Often the keys to open these heavenly portals reside in the actions of our hearts. Hear that? Often the keys to open these heavenly portals reside in the actions of our hearts. At Pentecost, the key to unlocking the portal was the unity of the believers gathered together. Scripture says they were in one accord when suddenly a portal opened. What has God been trying to get the lighthouse to do? Get in unity. And it has not yet happened. And I've said, God, if there's somebody that can't get in unity, then remove them, because there's others that need to be blessed. Yeah, I've tried everything else, and God has too. The best thing would be just everybody to get rid of their isms and just come into unity, right? Acts 2, 1 through 4, I was talking about a day of Pentecost was suddenly a portal open, and Acts 2, 1 through 4 said a sound from heaven was heard that resembled a mighty rushing wind filling the whole house. A supernatural manifestation that looked like flames of fire appeared on the believers and filled them with the Holy Spirit. And people used to, when, you know, of course, you always had to park across the parking lot. When they come in, they said, looks like your whole roof is on fire. There's just flames of fire all over the roof. And see, so this is because there was an open portal and God was moving inside the building. All right? We are entering an hour when God wants to give us a mighty outpouring of His Spirit and an unprecedented visitation of heavenly hosts on the earth. And in Joel 2:28 tells us that, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit. God wants to come in here with His glory and just pour His Spirit in all of its fullness upon each and every person sitting in here, including the children upstairs. And then He wants to be able to use us for His glory. This new wave of God's Spirit will begin to flow with great power, bringing healing and life, much like Ezekiel's vision of the river of life. And so we're going to read about the river of life. We know it, but let's read it tonight. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side, going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand. The man measured 1,000 cubits, and that led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. We've been there. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. We've been there. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. We've been there. Again, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? We have not been there. We have not been to the flood stage yet. All right? As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river were As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the water river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish, for this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Who is the river? We are. God has been placing His river within each one of us. And every place we go, we should bring life. Everything we touch, we should bring life, because we have that river of living waters flowing through us. Do you understand this? We have no reason to say that God is not using us, because He is, but we just don't understand it. We all have that river of life flowing through us. How deep that you've gotten into that river, only you know. And when I said we've been here, God has taken us there, but have you been there? Remember, God told me, daughter, I'm going to put you in a river, and I'm going to put my foot on your head until I drowned you. So that's the rivers that run over us and drowned us, so that there's nothing left but Christ Himself. Lord, have you asked God to do that to you? Put me in that river, God, and drown me. Don't let me come. Don't let me up to it. There's nothing in me left, only you. This coming flow of God's Spirit will be felt in such fullness of power that it will unleash a massive worldwide revival. Believers will be anointed and empowered to perform even greater works than those Jesus did. Healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, and proclaiming the kingdom of God has come to earth in John 14:12. In the coming days, the Lord will begin to show many of you where portals exist in your community. So I want you to start watching, listening to God and letting him show you where the portals are. Why? So that you will be able to receive even greater spiritual insight and revelation from God. I know that the lighthouse is a portal. I've been asking God to let me see the angels ascending and descending again for years now. And I'm really believing that this is a time that he's going to do that. And you know, he's going to have me teach about angels. Some of you have seen angels in here. God, in all his sovereignty, has chosen this small little church to work through with great signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, in Isaiah 54:17, which God told me I could always stand on that, it says that he's going to vindicate us and let our enemies see that we've always been with the Father. People believe that just because you don't have a huge audience, that you're just spinning your wheels. But all that's going to change real soon. And God is going to vindicate us, and all of Delaware is going to see that God surely has been in this place all the days that we've been here. God is on the throne. And I hope he's on the throne of your heart, because that's what I heard. And God wants to move through each and every one of us mightily. He wants each one of us to see portals. Please, if you see a portal, make sure it's a heavenly portal. But if it's a demonic portal, then you know what to do. Destroy that thing. Don't let it have any more foothold than what it already has. There's some days I walk in here, I can feel the Spirit so strong. And I know that's when a portal is opened for that service. And there's other times I walk in here and I don't feel it. And it's a struggle. And I know that some way, somehow, that portal has been shut off by the demonic realm. We can never have the portals shut off ever again. They have to be opened and opened wide and kept open, because God wants to start performing miracles in our midst. He has been dealing with each and every one of us in here. And you won't be able to say, well, you didn't help me, you didn't do anything for me, because yes, he did. You chose not to move when he told you to move. Do you know how many people's going to laugh at that sign when we put it up? Do you know how many people's going to say, who does she think, even probably watching this, who does she think she is? I'm a child of God who follows God's direction no matter what he says. Told me to buy this sign, had no idea what that sign meant. But I know that the church was in a mess, and I said, yeah, they need to get yourself together. And that isn't what that was all about. You know, we put up the sign, you know, house of refuge in the storm. I didn't know what that was all about. That's been years ago. But we put it out there, didn't we? And look what God's doing, bringing people in who are hurting, lost and dying. And I say all that to say this, whatever God tells you to do, do it. It doesn't matter if people ridicule you. Do whatever God is telling you to do. That's called obedience. Because if we don't do it, then we're walking in disobedience. We're telling God, I don't have enough faith to do that. I'm afraid to do that, you know, and God can't bless you. Whatever he tells you to do, if it's him, do it. And there's sometimes God will tell me to do something, not like these signs and stuff, but sometimes God will tell me to do something, and I'll say, God, is that really you? Because sometimes it sounds so far-fetched. And I'm not talking about putting up signs. I'm talking about doing stuff for people. And I wait until I hear his answer before I move, because, you know, you can move at the wrong time and God can't do what he wants to do. But if he's told you to do something, whatever you do, do something. Ask him and then do whatever he tells you to do. Don't be just sitting around just twiddling your thumbs. We have to be constantly. How many of you are getting awake most of the night now with dreams? I mean, you have dreams upon dream upon dream. God is showing, well, with me, he's shown me the darkness that's coming into the land. And he's shown me the dangers that those who are lost and dying are going to face if the church doesn't take their position and start doing the things he's called us to do. So if you're getting a dream, well, then remember write the dream down. If you can't remember it, I don't remember, so I write them down. If something God wants you to do, then do it. If it's just something he's shown you, well, then put it aside until such a time as God will tell you when to bring it forth. Just because you have a dream every night doesn't say you have to share it every night, every morning. So I've been reading a lot where, and I know this myself, but I've been reading a lot where a lot of pastors are saying, God showed them a dream 5 years ago and said, don't tell it. Hold on to it, because I'm going to tell you at the right time when to reveal it. And a lot of them have been revealing it right now. And as I read them, this is a dispensation of time that those things need to be revealed. I don't know why, but God's asked me to ask you, what is your nature? Are you for him or are you against him? Are you ready for all the pressure to land on you to cause you to stop your walk with him because of your obedience to him? In other words, you know, God asks you to do something and you do it. People are going to start putting pressure on you, saying, yeah, that wasn't God. But are you ready? Are you strong enough to stand that pressure and keep on going with God? You have to ask yourself these questions, then answer them honestly. I'm hearing God say, this next move of God is going to be so awesome that you're going to do a lot of things that nobody else has ever seen, and you're going to be ridiculed. Are you ready for the ridicule? Are you truly ready for it? If you're thin-skinned, you're not going to make it. You're going to have to be able to move under pressure. And you're going to have to do things that go against your grain. When God says close the door, then you have to close the door. When your flesh is saying don't do that. But God is saying enough is enough. Do you understand what I mean? You know, because people can wear you out. The enemy can use them to wear you out. And they don't really want to change, and you're wanting them so desperately to change. And so you concentrate on them day in and day out, and you're missing what the other things that God would have you to do. Heavenly portals. I'm also hearing God say right now, he also has portals in your own homes. Those of you who have found a secret place to cry out to him, you're going to find... Grace, I got to tell you that God placed you by yourself because you're going to have a portal open, and he needs you to be alone to interact with that portal. We never know why God. I've been praying for Grace because now she's all alone, you know, and it's hard when you're around people all the time. But now God's giving my answer, so now I'm at peace. You never know what God is going to ask you to do. You never know. From one second to another, your life changes, doesn't it? If you're really walking with God, 1 minute one thing's happening, next second it's totally different. And I'm hearing God say, everything I ask you to do is shatterproof. In other words, the enemy can do anything he wants, but he can't destroy it. And God's saying, do you want to walk in a kind of divine revelation? Do you want to be a portal? And wherever you go, you carry that portal with you. And because you carry that portal with you, then you have the signs, wonders, and miracles with you. I've been really seeking God's face because it's just like we're starting all over again. You know, we've ended 40 years, and we are starting all over again. But really, we're starting all over again, the same word, you know. But what God is doing now is he's ministering to the new people that are coming into the house. And this morning, he was talking to the prodigals. So the prodigals have to learn what you already know. And God said, he is not a redundant God. And whatever he says has to be said. So don't try to block out his voice when he wants to say something through you. Allow him to say whatever he wants to say. And this is me saying we all know blockheads. That you can't get anything in their head for nothing, right? Big God knows how to get that into their head. So let's just do whatever, only do what God's telling you to do. All right, if you want to be a portal carrier, the altar's open for you to come for a special touch from God to be a portal carrier. And God's saying, you who are in the business world, you really need this touch tonight because he's going to use you to carry his anointing to a lost and dying generation.